if I thought Stan was lying about any of this, making any of it up, I would have walked away faster than anything.
And I think one thing that they give is a sense of credibility. These equations are...
Here's the thing that's been following me.
Oh my God, I'm shaking like a leaf. I hope I can get this. I hope this is working. Please be working. Please be working.
Oh, oh my God. What's that? Oh my God, what's it doing? Oh my God. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Where'd it go, where'd it go, where'd it go?
Tonight's show will be a very interesting one, to say the least. We have two guests, Paula Harris. She's no stranger, of course, to UFO shows and to UFOs in the field in general. She has done a lot of work, a lot of amazing journalistic accomplishments over the years. And Paula Harris and I have worked together on several projects together, and it's always good to bring her back on, so we'll have her here. And also, for the first time tonight, we're going to have Lisa Romanek, wife of Stan Romanek. She has a new book out, and we'll talk about that. From My Side of the Bed, I believe is the name of it, and we'll talk to her about it and get the exact title. And actually, it's an interesting book in the fact that she actually gives the story from the wife, who the husband is being abducted or contacted, according to what you want to look. We'll find out how she refers to it when she comes on. She has an interesting blog, and we'll talk to her about that as well. And she has some late-breaking UFO news and sightings that we're going to get her to talk about tonight, in addition to what she and Paula are up to. And they have this conference coming up down in Texas, and we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. And Paula Harris has so many things in the fire, irons in the fire, I guess is the way we refer to it here in Oklahoma, that, you know, we could spend the whole 2 hours talking to Paula about her latest books and projects. One of the latest projects she had that we recently had on the air with us, a very interesting man, and she actually wrote the book about him, and we'll talk about that as well. And we're talking, of course, about Clifford Stone, Army Sergeant, who now lives retired and now lives in Roswell. Clifford, by the way, is not doing well physically, and that's too bad. It seems like all of us people in the UFO business are all being afflicted. I know Peter Robbins had a little touch of pneumonia, but he made it out of the house over the weekend, I understand, and met with Professor Jacobs and some others on the Linda Cotillia story. In fact, Linda Cotillia was there. And so maybe Peter's going to be carrying on some of Bud Hopkins' work. And David Jacobs, of course, his promise to do a show with us when we do another abduction special, and that'll be coming up pretty soon as well. Hi, Lisa Romanek. This is Jerry Pippin. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. The reason I put you on before Paula, we're going to get a hold of Paula in just a second, is we just played a little bit of that DVD about your husband, Stan Romanek. When is that? That's a trailer. It's on YouTube. When is the DVD going to come out?
They're talking about really having it out late this fall. They're trying to get it through to the film festivals.
Okay, good. And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to talk about a few things here, but we played that soundtrack, as I said, from the trailer for the DVD, and you're going to enter that in the film festival, you figure, huh?
Yep, that's their plan.
Yeah. I noticed some interesting things on your blog there. You've got an interesting blog.
Thanks.
One of those
things up there.
Yeah, one thing caught my attention, and it's kind of connected to what we'll be talking about tonight when we bring Paula on as well. There were 6 UFO reports around Stephenville, Texas in February, the 21st of February. Is that true?
That's what they count, yeah.
Yeah, what can you tell me a little bit more about that, or our listeners,
no,
I mean?
Not really a whole lot. There's not a lot of names involved in it or anything. People are really nervous about putting their names out and giving a whole lot of details. But some of the reports were, you know, 4 bright lights in the shape of a parallelogram. And they were sitting stationary. Another witness saw dozens of small flashing lights in sequence and independently. Another witness saw rapid moving things low in the sky that were blinking lights. It seems like the whole planet right now are having sightings. I mean, everywhere in Texas, in Missouri, Colorado's really busy again. It's just really wild.
And most of these are lights in the sky, or they're basically, or are they actually seeing objects?
Some of them are seeing objects. I was reading a report earlier today on one of the sites that I do. I just run around and look at things now. One man actually took video over his home. I can't remember where it was, but he was seeing a triangle pattern in the sky. And when you look at the video, it looks like a triangle craft. Of course, our government has crafts like that. So it's hard to say if it was an actual extraterrestrial craft or not. But later on that afternoon or that evening, he saw kind of like what Stan had seen with the globe that was orangish red and blinking really rapidly.
I mean, everybody's using these cell phones and getting lots of great pictures.
Yeah. And we just had MUFON investigators here last night, and they had brought enhanced pictures of what they took off of Stan's cell phone. They took it directly off of there. And it shows the energy, how they did it, but it was really cool. But they just showed up to take their own photographs of where the picture was taken from and measure the distance up, you know, approximately where the tree branch is and kind of from the garden level office up, kind of see how low it was.
Yeah. We have the call-in to Paula. She'll be joining us shortly. And when we do, Paula Harris, when did you first meet Paula Harris?
Gosh, back in 2002 is the first time I met her. Stan met her
before that. In other words, you've been interested in the UFO field for some time.
I've always been a believer, and then I met Stan, who wasn't. I met him in 2000, and it was after that he started having to accept it, and after that he met Paula. 2 years later, I met Paula. So I've been a believer, but never really actively.
Well, tell me a little bit about your book that you just wrote, and tell the title and how somebody can find it before we bring Paul on. Let's talk about your book a little bit.
Okay. It's called From My Side of the Bed, Pulling Back the Covers on Extraterrestrial Contact, A Spouse's Point of View. And it's at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You can click on Stan or I's website, either one. LisaRomanek.com or StanRomanek.com.
Yeah, you have your own website there with your own name. I was looking at that a little bit.
It's pretty
as
basic,
well.
But it's a start. But my book's about what it's been like as a spouse and to live through all these, at first, very terrifying events. But looking back and what I've learned now, they're just incredible.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that, the first time and the terrifying event. What was so terrifying about it? I mean, exactly. Can you describe to our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, like I said, Stan's first sighting was in December of 2000. His first abduction was September of 2001. We were married in 2002, and November of 2002 was his second abduction shortly after we were married. And the fear for me was, at first, you know, Stan and I being in different states, obviously, and not being able to help him, not being able to protect him. After we were married, it was brought home. You know, it was happening in my home with my children, and I couldn't stop any of it. My son was taken when he was 8 years old. And
now, had you had some experiences yourself, or was it just sadly happening to others?
Later on, I started having experiences, but it's really strange, and a lot of people probably can relate to it. I have no conscious memories of anything happening to me, but it's more like a dream that I, you know, it's like you wake up from. But you have, you know, I had injuries. I had a hole in the back of my head, which is the pictures in my book, and, you know, bruising where I should not have bruising. It was just, I can't prove that it happened. I can't prove that it didn't.
Let's talk a little bit more about your book. How long has it been out?
It came out the beginning of January.
And the reactions? Have you gotten a lot of reaction?
I have. A lot of people, you know, have said that it's changed their lives, which amazes me. I just wanted to help people who are in my situation. I don't want to change their lives, but if that's happening, that's amazing. Nothing negative at all, but it's a very emotional book, very honest, very, very much flinging open the closets and letting out all the junk, you know?
When you met Stan, when was that? How long ago?
Well, I met him in 2000, so gosh, 12 years ago?
Okay.
And yeah.
And did you know this was happening to him at that time?
It wasn't happening to him at that time. He blames it on me because
I'm
a believer. Yeah.
I had heard that before. That's one reason I kind of asked that question that way.
Yeah.
Why did he think it was your fault?
Well, he half jokingly says it, but I think he really thinks it because I believed, and he was going up to the mountains to videotape the scenery for me and send me a video so I would come visit him in Colorado. And he tells people he's going to send me chocolates. I never got the chocolates, but he called me and he says, just turn on your webcam or you're not going to believe this. And through the magic of web cameras and computers, I was able to see this UFO. And I thought he was so cool, because I was a believer and had never seen one. And I had just seen my first UFO. So he blames it on me.
And as far as you're concerned, do you remember the first time you were aware that he was having an abduction experience, or at least a contact? Do you remember how that came about, how you found out about it? Did he come home and tell you, or what?
Well, we were not married at the time. We were still dating long distance from Colorado to Nebraska. But he had seen another UFO. It's like the third or fourth one into his experiences. And it actually had followed him home. And he called and told me about that. And then he called me again later saying he had a horrible headache and was going to just go to bed. And the next morning he called and was telling me about this strange dream he had about these possum people. That's what he called them, possum people, because their faces were real elongated. And he just wanted it to be a nightmare. He didn't want it to be real. And he had injuries on his lower back and around his wrist where he had been restrained to a wall. So that's...
Did many of these things happen while he was in bed with you, asleep at night, or...
Yes.
And could you tell something was happening, or did you know on the other side of the bed?
See, that's the thing.
To borrow your phrase from your book.
Yeah. From my side of the bed, it was like they turned off the whole neighborhood, including me. It's like when Stan's second abduction happened 4 months after we were married. And we'd gone to bed like normal, and really early in the morning, so like 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard the banging just pounding on the window, which scared the life out of me. And I got up, peeked out the windows, the mini blinds, and it was Stan. It's like, what the heck? So I ran around through the house and let him in, and he was just freezing. And I told him, I said, come in here. He said, how did you get outside? He had no memory of how he got out. You know, all the doors were still locked with slide locks and everything. So I have no memory of him getting up. And like I was saying, I'm a very light sleeper because I had 3 children, so any noise would wake me up. But Stan said he had been pounding on that window for like 30 minutes trying to get me to come let him in. So that's how it was most of the time. I mean, that we know of, he's been abducted 11 times.
11 times. Paula Harris, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad Lisa got a chance to tell her story, though, because these are the people that really have the stories. I just recount what other people say. So I'm happy to be on with you and Lisa. And
Lisa, let me ask Paula this. Have you ever had a contact experience yourself, Paula?
No, not really, Jerry. But let me ask you this, Jerry. Have you ever had a contact experience?
No, but I have seen a UFO finally.
Well, my thing is, yes, I have seen a UFO finally. In northern Italy, there was these sightings that were happening every single night in this very old medieval town. And when I was up there, I saw for 3 nights in a row UFOs interacting right in front of my face. I mean, it's an incredible story. I have all the videos. But the reason why I asked you, Jerry, is I don't think it's normal for us to do this work unless there's been some kind of something in our life that we may not know about. And even though I haven't had the kind of contact that Lisa's talking about, the fact that we like the subject, the fact that we research the subject, the fact that we're involved with the subject means that in some way, I think you and I and a lot of other people have had some kind of downloading or contact.
Well, you may be right. I have had experiences similar to what people are talking about, but I never thought of it as UFO experiences earlier. But I've always been interested in the subject. I've been doing these shows for decades. So you may be right. And you've been reporting on things, and I don't want to date you age-wise, but for decades as well. You're no stranger to this issue.
Well, no, I started with Alan Hynek, and that was like 40 years ago. And, starting with somebody like that, who was a scientist and he's kind of a teacher for me, as he was an astronomer, I knew it was real right from the beginning. I mean, you don't have to ask me if I believe in UFOs. I worked with Alan Hynek, and he did Blue Book and so forth. But, you know, every day that I'm on a plane or with somebody or talking to somebody and they say, how did you get into this, I realize that it's not normal. So I'm sure you get the question also, how come you got into this?
Yeah, that's true. That's a very common interest of people. And I got into it because I thought there was something going on, and I thought the people had great stories to tell. And I thought it was great radio, and over the years, I've become convinced that there's a lot behind all of these stories, and the truth is out there, and we're trying to find it. Does that sound about right
to
you?
Yeah, the truth is out there. We're trying to find it, and I'm only in this area. I'm going to really qualify this because people know I'm into exopolitics and into UFOs, but for me, exopolitics is the education and the political and sociological implications of the fact that they're here. And so I do not do any conspiracy theory. I do not do chemtrails. I do not do 9/11. I do not do all that other stuff. I just do ET-related stuff, which is what my definition of exopolitics is, or ufology.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Lisa Romanek before you came on, and Lisa, once again, getting back to your blog, how long have you had that blog? It's got some pretty interesting things on there. You got all kinds of great reports and stories.
I started it 2 weeks ago, and I have 67 posts up already.
Already in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'm pretty impressed, aren't you, Paula?
Yeah, but I think this was this kind of brought her out of the closet. I think she's been a secret writer, you know, for a long time, and I think she's excellent. And I told her this, and it wasn't just because she's a friend. Her book is one of the best books I've ever read. I read it in 24 hours. I stayed up all night. Her book, On the Other Side of the Bed, is so good because she brings you into it. She, in other words, she's like a girlfriend talking to you about what happened with all the emotion, with all the problems, with all the everything, not leaving anything out. And nobody writes like that. I mean, I have never seen anybody that really can bring, and I used to be a literature teacher. I was an English teacher for 30 years, and I know good writing. I mean, Faulkner used to do this, Hemingway used to do this. A lot of people wrote about their personal experiences so you could feel, you know, you could feel how they lived it. And so people ought to look at this book. I mean, it is really a good book, Jerry. It really makes you feel what it's like with all the emotion involved to be the spouse of a contactee or of an abductee.
Lisa, how did Sam feel about you writing that book?
He's proud of me. He's...
So he gave you encouragement all along?
Oh, yeah. He tells everyone that I'm a better writer, and I say, yes, I am.
Paula agrees.
Yeah. He says that. That's very nice of him. He does say that in public. My wife is a better writer, but she is. And but it's still his story and her story too that she tells.
Yeah, exactly. And he knows, and we've agreed that, you know, it's very important to put the emotional side of it out there. You know, so people who question abductees and contactees can understand that it's not just seeing something; it's living something. These events are life altering. Life changing, you know, and it's been an amazing journey.
When we talk about things in your book, and we talked briefly before Paula came on, Lisa, when were you aware right off the bat about Stan being taken, or was it, what I'm saying is you're right there in the bed with him. Basically, you talk about that in the book. Did you ever miss him? Was he gone? How does that work? I mean, how did it work? I mean,
the one time that I did wake up and he was not there, and it only happened once that he didn't wake me up, was when his leg was fixed. And he had torn the anterior cruciate ligament and the hamstring in his leg, and he was going to go in for surgery the next day. The night before his surgery, I woke up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a crazy hour, so between 1 and 3 is crazy hour. And the power was out. I couldn't find him, and I searched room by room, went out the back door, couldn't find him. And I went out to the garage, flipped on some lights. When I came back, he was there. And that experience was really strange because usually I'm just right on it. I can get under control. I control the fear. I control everything and start documenting. That night, it was like, I'm going back to bed. Then go back to bed, you know? And there was a sound over the house after we finally went back to bed that was like, wow, wow. It made us sick to our stomachs, just ill. The next morning, and we were asleep instantly after that. The next morning, he was walking, no pain, no bruising, no swelling, and had 5 holes down the side of his leg.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very incredible. And that's when I stopped being afraid of the extraterrestrials.
Now, has anything like this happened recently?
Recently, he had kidney stones. And his...
That's painful enough.
Yeah. Well, he really had a flare-up, and he'd gone into his doctor, his kidney doctor, and they sent him for CAT scan. And he had had a CAT scan not that long before, but they wanted to see what was going on. The pain was just incredible. So they sent him in, and when the results came back, he had no kidney stones, where just a month and a half before, he had the kidney stones. But something.
So he actually had an encounter with an ET doctor.
Something. But in between seeing the doctor and going for the test, there was no pain, but he followed through with the test to find out, you know, if there was something blocked, and there was no kidney stones. His doctor's like, I don't understand this. So we basically told him he didn't need to understand.